Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter is beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I apologize for those watching. I look like I'm in a space capsule. I'm in my car just coming from the airport. In between my trips to Chicago, because that's where the Padres are headed. Ryan, let's set the stage for the folks. Padres are, well, their magic number is one. We can get into what that means. Heading into the start of this three-game series against the Brewers, the Padres' magic number is one. Ryan, where would you like to start?
That's where I'd like to start. Kevin, we love baseball because of the nuance and the subtlety and all of the complexity with it. But sometimes baseball is real simple. And tonight it's win and you're in. This week, win a couple times and you get to go to Chicago. This has become almost, they're almost football game level simplicity in terms of win today. And worry yep. about the rest after today. So let's talk about that. Padres, right. Brewers. Brewers are the number one seed in the National League. Few teams in baseball have been playing better than them. Given the way the Padres are playing lately, doesn't inspire a ton of confidence, but they only got to win once to make the playoffs, and they're playing six times this week.
And the Brewers might be as hungover as the Cubs were in getting swept by the Reds these last four games. Yeah, so the reason that it's tonight, it really is just win is the way to get in, is because the Mets don't play, the Diamondbacks don't play, the Reds don't play. So it's not like someone else can lose. Like tomorrow, the Mets can lose and the Padres are in. But the tonight, it's just win, and then they would get to 86 wins, and the Mets could still get to 86 wins, but the Padres had the tiebreaker because they were able to win that one game last week after sweeping the Mets here in July. So it's win and get in. If they don't do it tonight, we can talk. Then it's one Padres win or one Mets loss. And then, or it's one Padres win and one Reds loss, or no Padres wins and two Red losses, or two Padres wins and no Reds losses. Anyway. Read the Padres daily and our coverage on Padres on our Padres page if you want a breakdown of all that stuff. But the simplest way would be just freaking win another game tonight.
Yeah, just win another game. Again, Padres are home for 6 days this week. They have three against Milwaukee, and then after Thursday off day, they play the Diamondbacks in three starting on Friday. And that could be an interesting series because the Mets are terrible. And the Mets took two or three from the Padres, but the Mets are terrible and the Diamondbacks are right on them. And this can make for a very interesting series for the Diamondbacks, at least starting on Friday.
Right. It could. They're not as in good a situation as the Reds, though. Right. Honestly, who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. It could be the Diamondbacks up by a game for that sixth spot by the time they get here. And the Padres most likely are not going to have anything to play for by the weekend. And they will have already lined up their pitching. Like the Diamondbacks won't be facing Nick Pavetta. They'll face Michael King the first night, probably five innings, so that he's ready for game two almost certainly. The situation is this, that the Padres trail the Cubs by three games. The Cubs hold the four seed and would host the first wild card game. That's why we're talking about going back to Chicago.
Right.
The Padres would hold the tiebreaker over the Cubs, but three games in six games is just a little much. Just an example of that would be if the Cubs go 3-3, in order for the Padres to get that number four seed in that home series, the Padres can't lose the rest of the season.
Right.
Now, look, if they end up sweeping the Brewers, they're going to go for it. Because the home series is huge. Home field advantage. The Padres have not played well on the road. Have not played well on the road against good teams. Not to mention the extra money. I don't think that's really an issue.
Yeah, what are the most likely scenario by far is that the Padres make the tournament, so to speak, as a wild card team, travel to Chicago. And again, under these new-ish wild card rules, all three games in the wild card series are played at the higher seeds home park. And so it's not as if the Padres would come back and play one. It'd be just like it was last year with Atlanta, right? All three games, they only played two, but we're here at Petco Park. Kevin, I don't want to dwell too much on the six-game road trip that you just returned from. But what did we learn coming out of, especially that series against the White Sox?
That the Padres are still in kind of a funk. But, you know, let's go with recency. The big deal, especially after in his first start, because Michael King had the first start of the road trip in New York, and it was the worst start of his career. It was his second start back from the injured list, and it did not go well. 8 runs, 3 innings, what, 4 home runs. It was not good. And so yesterday was about results, but really was about how did he pitch, and he pitched really well. And the results were 5 shutout innings, thanks to the White Sox being not good, guys hitting pitchers' pitches and chasing pitches, and then Adrian Morahone coming in after 2 singles and a walk by Michael King, loaded the bases with no outs in the 6th inning. Adrian Morahone came in and did what he does,
right,
which is strand all 3 of those runners by getting 3 outs in, I think, 12 pitches. But the point being, even if they'd scored a couple there, Michael King had a really fine outing. And let's remember, look, they'll take 6 shutout from Mike in the postseason. They would like to get 5 innings. Mm-hmm. 1 run, 2 runs, you know, they're going to need their offense to score, for goodness sake. So we're not looking here for Cy Young and Michael King. You know where you're at. Michael King will have had 4 starts to get ready for the postseason after spending more than half the season on the injured list. And Sunday was big. Other than that, Ryan, I know you watch every game. I don't know what you took out of these 6 games, but it's like, and I don't want to, like, you know, I'll give you a trailer of the kind of stories I'm working on. But it's just trying to figure out, how is this team going to flip the switch from the malaise of this last month to the postseason?
Kevin, I pay attention. I think you know this. I can talk baseball about as much as anything. There are guys on the White Sox I had not heard of. You're sitting there and you're watching Mike Tauchman look like Reggie Jackson out there. You know, it was
Mike Tauchman is like one of their veterans. So
he's one of their best known guys. they have a first baseman. Yeah. Anyway. I mean, I spent all weekend thinking they can't possibly get swept, because if they get swept, then all of a sudden the calculus changes.
Not an excuse. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just as perplexed / I mean, I'm not a fan, so I'm not disgusted, but I'm like, what the heck? By the fact that they have been in this malaise and that they have not done better, not put themselves in a better position considering the teams they're playing. But I'm just going to tell you, like, this is a little bit who the Padres are. They had this thing all but sewn up. They were going to the playoffs as of August 23rd. Like, they were going to have so much more of a collapse. Like, think about how poorly they played. Mm-hmm. And that they're still comfortably making the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Giants got insanely hot. The Diamondbacks got hot. The Reds were mostly hot. And the Padres are still comfortably ahead of these teams, despite being, I believe, at this point it is 10 and 15 or 10 and 16 since August 24th. So pretty comfortably. And then with every win every 3 days or whatever, so we're getting to the first week of September, they're in, man, and they know it.
Yeah.
And it was just hard to get up. Again, I'm not making an excuse for them. What I am saying is, you know, it might not matter. You know, this is how it goes sometimes, that Manny Machado decides when Manny Machado is going to play, and Fernando Tatis Jr. the same, and that's just the way it is, and I'm not ripping them. I'm not putting them down. These two men have presided over the golden era of Padres baseball. So, like, I'm just kind of giving you – I've talked to a lot of people inside and outside the organization here in the last – week, as I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And it's like, people are like, yeah, they look like crap, but it ain't gonna matter when the playoffs start.
Yeah, now, and that's,
here's the trick. They have to do that, though. They have to put the onus now. If you're gonna be, you know, play like crap for a month, is, well, you better be damn sure that on September 29th you can turn it on.
Well, what if the Padres head into Thursday's off day, essentially knowing that they're going to Chicago one way or another, right? To me, you talk about how can you reset there? Maybe it's a matter of giving your guys, and you know the guys like Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis who played every day, maybe it's a matter of giving those guys 4 consecutive days off. Maybe it's a matter of getting them off their feet. You know, if you build in the Thursday off day and then go, you know, maybe you only play one in the 3-game series, all of a sudden then maybe that's a natural restart, a natural sort of reset heading into the playoffs.
Yes. And that's kind of where they're at. So they're basically at this point already, right? Where it's a little late to get hot. Right? Like maybe not, you know, Jackson Merrill can stay hot. He's a young guy who hasn't played much this season, so he's probably not going to get a lot of rest. He'll get a day off or whatever, but he'll play going into the playoffs, right? But like, Manny's, if they clinch tonight, I mean, you might see Manny twice the rest of the season, right? You might not see him at all, right? Tatis is going to get time down. It's Bryce Johnson, Jose Iglesias, Mason McCoy, right? You're going to see Xander Bogaerts because he needs to play, right? But you still might only see Xander for 6 innings over the weekend or something. I mean, like, so it's a little late because, yes, the prudent thing to do is what you said, and that's what they have talked about doing.
Right. And maybe that's the motivator heading into this week, right? Hey, win a couple of games and everybody gets a few days off. Like, maybe that's where you find, you know, this motivation. It's because I think some of it, and you look at the inconsistent play, I think some of it is just dog days of summer baseball in terms of you've been at it for 6 months. You have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. Fangraphs tells you there's a 99% chance. You know, like at some point, maybe just going to the post every day is a challenge.
Yeah. And I know that sounds, an adjective, but for a lot of people, that sounds crazy. That sounds stupid. That disgusts you because, you know, and I'm only saying this because this is, I hear from fans, right? And I also, you know, I'm of a certain age where you go to the post every day, right? I'm also around these guys all the time. I also understand how long this season is. I understand who they are. And I accept who some of them are for their excellence. And if their excellence is such that, hey, we got this thing wrapped up, I'll be there in October. And I'm just saying that's a theory of some people. Some people know stuff, but, but then, okay, do you want the Padres to go deep in the playoffs or do you want them to win the NL West? Now, here's the problem. Like I said, you're now putting, which is where all your eggs are anyway, but you're now putting all your eggs in the postseason basket. You don't get to, if you have one and out in the postseason, then we all are going to also point to August and September and go, hey, this was a part of a systematic failure. Now, if this all works out and they go to the World Series, we're never going to talk about September again.
Right, right. That's a great point. Let's get down to pitching matchups here. Really good one tonight, Kevin. We got Freddy Peralta versus Nick Pivetta. Peralta is 17-6 with an ERA of 2.6. Nick Pivetta 13-5 with an ERA of 2.8. Both of these guys, really good third surprise stars this year. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's funny because that means Peralta's got it 2 more starts, right? Because the Brewers have a bye. Right, so, right. Like, whereas the Pivetta thing is, this is interesting to me that he's got to start, and then he won't start again for 8 days. That's 7 days off for Nick Pivetta, who wasn't thrilled himself. It was, you know, sometimes players have to be told what's best for them. Wasn't thrilled with the extra time off that they afforded the starters before this last road trip because he likes his routine, and a lot of guys are like that. So, obviously, he'll throw 2 bullpens between tonight and starting game 1 Tuesday in Chicago because I just don't see a scenario that he's not the game 1 starter. That's an interesting situation there where the teams are in 2 different places with their number 1 starters.
Yep, super interesting. Tuesday, TBA.
Brewers have really good starters.
Yes. Tuesday, TBA for the Brewers. Randy Vasquez for the Padres, 5-7 with a 3.94 ERA. I suppose if you're a Padre fan who appreciates what Randy Vasquez has done, maybe Tuesday night is Randy Vasquez appreciation night at Petco Park, because my guess is you won't see him again until 2026. But again, he's 5-7 with a 3.94 ERA. You would have taken that in March for sure out of Randy Vasquez.
Yeah. And I'm not going to argue with you because, they just might not be a place for him. But as I was sort of penciling it out, brainstorming a little bit, there might be a spot on the roster for Randy as a long reliever, perhaps. And maybe that's more they keep him in Arizona and he is there available for him if they get to a 7-game series or something like that. Right. But yes, this definitely could be your last time, except for if he's not going to be on a playoff roster, then he probably starts on Sunday. They'll let him go more than, 2 1/3 innings. If they've already clinched tonight, maybe Randy, they're going to let him go out there because that's another, portion of the team that needs some rest, is the bullpen.
Yep, absolutely. Wednesday, we've got Quinn Priester. My God, he's 13-2. Quinn Priester, 13-2. ERA of 3.25 against TBD for the Padres. My guess is they'll just figure out where they're at and pick a guy.
It's hard to see them. I haven't penciled it out, but you have to remember the postseason is an extension of the regular season. So if you're going to send a guy down, that guy's not coming back until 15 days. So I haven't really – they have some guys they can expend. Ron Marinaccio comes to mind.
Kyle Hart.
Obviously Bradley Rodriguez. So they could make a move there and have you start, Ryan. You're not on the 40-man, so that would require some other moves. But – as long as they clinched it in one of the next 2 days, that's why Wednesday's a TBD.
Right. That makes sense. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. I'm going to give you two here today because we have a little time. Number one, what are reasonable expectations for Xander Bogaerts now that he is back and will apparently be in the lineup tonight? What do we realistically expect him to be doing in the last week of the regular season?
Yeah, a 12-year veteran who, only missed, 3.5 weeks or 4 weeks, less than a month. I think that that's why he'll play. He was very it was important to him to get back with this much time to be able to play. They also took their time to a certain extent. He healed quickly, and then they took their time. So, he would have missed the celebration. Had the Padres won on Friday, they would have wrapped this thing up yesterday. And Xander would have missed it. What's more important is that Xander's ready. And so he did his work in Arizona. And I would say that you're going to see the Xander that, left. Who, by the way, it sort of cooled down. But maybe this is wishful thinking because they're struggling so much. But quite a few people have talked about the absence of Xander and his presence in the lineup and sort of what had been his second half penchant for the big hit, for a good, solid 7-pitch at bat, and because they haven't been taking as many quality at bats, and they're a team that depends on quality at bat after quality at bat because they're not any homers. So they are really looking forward to the return of Xander.
Right. Here's my silly one, Kevin, and then I'll let you go. I see you've got a Starbucks there. If we're ranking caffeine delivery devices, I know you're a caffeine guy. I am too. Where we go? Energy drinks, sodas, coffee, 5-hour energies. Let's rank them in Kevin Acey's world.
If I'm, I have to be desperate to go for a energy drink. So now, because I'm going to put energy drinks in a different category than what I'm about to mention, which is my go-to. Every single day of the regular season that there is a game, 5-hour energy.
I've seen them.
I wish that I could. I'm an evangelist for 5-hour energy. Now it should be called 3.5 or 4-hour energy, but there's no crash.
That's good. So, that's good. So you're not yawning at 11:30 at night.
I'm not taking this thing until 10 p.m.
Right, right. You're taking it after the last out, and it gets you through the newsletter?
That's it right there. So I know I got it timed out pretty good. So plus I could sleep, like I could go to sleep right now. Like right. I'm just generally during the season in a state of old man tiredness. So I can at least take a nap after an Americano, which is the number one caffeine delivery advice because the taste is so good.
Americano. Now I'm a coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. An Americano is what?
Yeah, Americano is. Hot water and espresso.
Gotcha. Okay. Ooh, yeah, that would work. That does the job.
We're Americans and we can't handle straight espresso. I'm not sure why. It sounds derogatory to me.
Right. I'm sure it is. Kevin, you've got a couple hours here before the Padres get started. I will leave you to your caffeine. Padres Brewers 3-game series at Petco Park. 640, 110. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, I will talk to you later this week when hopefully we have a better idea of exactly who the Padres are facing, and maybe we can talk about the Diamondbacks, and maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just talk about the Cubs.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it will be interesting. I gotta find out something to talk about in the clinch today for the next 5 days. We'll be looking forward to the playoffs. But here's the crazy thing. It didn't feel like this in 22 or 24. We've been looking forward. I've been spinning everything toward the playoffs for a month now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, it's always fun. So.
Yep, absolutely. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.